For nearly 13 years, John Harrington has been the lead guitarist for Steely Dan. He's recorded two albums with the Rock and Roll Hall of Famers and toured the world many times over. When he's not employed by Donald Fagen and Walter Becker, he usually finds himself touring and or recording with rock and jazz heavyweights, including Boz Scaggs, Bette Midler, and Jake McDuff. In what must be fairly minimal time left over, he's managed to carve out a nice solo career. His new album, Time on My Hands, released a few weeks ago, showcases Harrington's incredible guitar chops and also some very refined songwriting sensibilities. He's been touring all summer with the Dukes of September. That's Boz Scaggs, Michael McDonald, and Donald Fagen. And now he's hitting the road in support of his new solo album. The tour makes a stop at WAMC's Linda Norris Auditorium on Saturday night. John Harrington, welcome to the roundtable.
Good to be here. Thanks, Ray.
Do you ever take a break?
It doesn't look like it from that calendar, does it?
No, it does not. You've been on tour all summer, and you somehow managed to get this record out.
Yeah, it did take a while, but it was much shorter in the making than the one before that, which I think it was about a 10-year break between the two prior records that my band put out. But this one came together pretty quickly because we recently picked up the pace of our live gigs with the band, and because we were enjoying playing and we had the places to play, we did some more writing, and before we knew it, we had a collection of songs that we thought were worth recording, and we did the tracking actually up in not far from where you guys are, at a place called Pilot Recording.
Oh, yeah, in the Berkshires.
Yeah, in the Berkshires. He's in Monterey, and his new place has got a new church that he's renovating in Housatonic.
Yeah, that's Will Schillinger, right?
Yes. So we recorded the tracking there. It took about 3 days, I think. And then there was a long phase of overdubs because I did those in my own New York City studio. But that was interrupted quite a lot by a lot of my touring. So, but we did manage to get the thing mixed and mastered just before I left in June for the Dukes tour. And that's been a long one, but I'm excited to be playing with just the trio now. It's kind of the musical antidote after the Dukes, about 12 people on stage with the Dukes.
And is it nice to be the man in charge?
Well, it is. It's a different thing. I mean, it's a completely different experience because I'm doing all the singing, too. But
are you comfortable? I listen to your vocals, and I've listened to the album a lot. And, I'm well familiar with your guitar playing prowess, but you sound very comfortable singing.
Well, I've always loved doing it. I don't do it on any of these sidemen gigs much, probably almost never. It's the one sort of part of my music making that, in a way, is the most fun because I don't do it as a professional. I mean, unless I'm doing my own work, of course. But I'm not a vocalist for hire, is what I mean.
Right.
I'm a guitar player for hire, but I've never been a vocalist for hire, and so it kind of retains this hobby feel to me, because I don't have to be as critical and self-conscious about it. I mean, I do when I'm making records, of course. But, it's just a ball for me because it's what I've done ever since I've been in high school and, from the time we started doing this in my parents' basement, when I was a kid. So it's, the combination of the songwriting, the fun that I have singing, and the room to design the music so that it's exactly what I want to play on the guitar, it's a pretty big treat.
You recorded this record, and you've done several solo records, and I'm wondering, as you recorded this one, now you've worked with Walter Becker and Donald Fagen on solo records, on Steely Dan records now, and they're legendary, I guess you could say, in some quarters infamous for their obsessive studio work and how particular they are. Did you learn any lessons in the studio from them, what to do or maybe what not to do when you were making your record?
I can't say, outside of just sort of having high standards, which is something I've always tried to sort of maintain, I don't think there are any particular techniques or habits that I have borrowed from them. I mean, the huge difference is usually, in making records with them and making my own records is the question of the budget.
Yeah.
Because they've always had the luxury of being able to do take after take, and sometimes the whole band would spend a day in the studio, and they'd be happy if they got one keeper song, and I can't afford to do that with my band. We have to do the whole record in 3 days, I try to work with the high standards, but we have to do it quicker, so it doesn't feel like the same kind of endeavor. And you know, they are fussy, but like I said, never in a way that felt inappropriate to me. It always has felt like they're looking for something, and they're patient and interested in working hard to get it, you know. And I'm totally down with that. I mean, if I had the luxury, I'd work longer on all this stuff. But I work plenty hard on the overdubs, and we do plenty of editing, and you know, I take the record making seriously. But it would be beautiful to have a big bunch.
Yeah,
those days are gone, I guess.
John Harrington is our guest, and he has a new record out called "Time on My Hands." It's a terrific new record. He'll be at our Linda Norris Auditorium on Saturday night. Now, when you recorded this record, you mentioned your budget and the time frame. So I assume then your basic tracks, the rhythm guitar, bass, and drums, were done pretty much live?
Yeah, pretty much. We kept a lot of stuff from the original tracking, and even some solos that I played live, because we were working a lot live as a trio, and we wanted to get as much of that kind of vibe on the record as we could. Originally, I was even thinking of maybe making it more like a live in the studio record and not doing any overdubbing. But I felt that though a few of the tunes would survive that way and would sound pretty good that way, I couldn't resist adding some stuff, some keyboard players, and including Donald Fagen actually on a couple tracks, and also you know, adding some extra guitars and just kind of dressing it up a little bit, because people can hear the stripped down trio versions when we play live, and we're going to continue to do a lot of that. We're going to play a lot of these tunes live, and it just seemed like, you know, it'd be nice to offer, you know, the audience a slightly more interesting listen with in terms of the layering and you know, some other parts and stuff. So and I like the way that came out. It's more fleshed out with the overdubbing that we did. Didn't do a whole lot, but it's and it still feels like we maintained the essence of what I wanted to get across about the guitar playing. That was my real intention with this record, to make sure that the guitar playing was in the spotlight in a way that had never been on a record of mine. Because I used to have the other two records, they sound more like singer-songwriter records to me, with lots of guitar. But this new record, I made a point of really stretching out, and you know, the solos are longer. It's a little more in a blues-based format. It's certainly not a traditional blues record, but it's got a lot more blues forms, and you know, it's sort of built for the extended soloing on the guitar. So it's. And that's what we did. We try to do live too, and so it does fit with what we're playing live now, which I like too.
The guitar sound on
slightly fancier listen in a way.
The guitar sound on the new record is really great, and I wondered how important getting that sound. How long does it take you to get the sound for a song?
You know, I don't. I mean, I can imagine spending more time, and I can imagine even some better results. I mean, it's never something I'm ever completely happy with, but I, you know, I think over the years I've gotten a little more savvy about, you know, amplifiers and about guitars. So and you know, in my studio I'm careful to sort of use high quality gear, you know, to get in, you know, before it gets to the recording medium. My studio doesn't have an amazing sounding room, and you know, if I had a huge budget to make these records, I'd book you know, some place like Avatar in New York City and just camp out for a month, you know.
Yeah, well, maybe next time, eh?
Maybe. maybe we need to do a Kickstarter campaign or something.
There you go.
Get a record budget next time.
So, you know, your guitar playing covers such a wide range of styles. I've seen Steely Dan many times, and it always blows my mind that you can do so many different styles. It's tough for me to figure out sort of what you really dig. What did you listen to when you grew up?
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, my early aim was to be able to play a lot of different styles, to be a session player, you know. I started doing that kind of in earnest after I got out of college, and, you know, that meant really being able to cover a broad range of styles. Actually, the irony of that is I've actually been trying to sort of narrow the focus just to sort of hone in on a more personal voice on the guitar, and that's felt like something that it took a long time before I directed myself to that job. And I feel like it's only been the last maybe 10, 15 years that that's begun to sort of feel stronger and more personal. But, you know, as a kid, I grew up, I mean, I think my career choice was probably made when I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan.
Yeah.
Like when I was a kid, because I just, you know, quickly made like cardboard and construction paper cutout guitar that looked like John Lennon's Rickenbacker and used to jump up and down on the couch with the 45s playing, you know. I played in little bands from the time I was playing guitar, and which was like around eighth grade or something like that. I started on guitar. I had played some piano and some saxophone, but I really got into the guitar because of the British Invasion rock was the first thing I really fell in love with. You know, Cream, Hendrix, Zeppelin, The Who, Stones, you know. You know, I basically played lots of rock and roll guitar and some blues and began writing songs in high school and playing them with a band. And it wasn't until I got to college that I realized that I had not really been a disciplined practicer. You know, I had a great ear and I was able to figure out stuff from records and I was a self-taught guitarist. But as soon as I got the first day I got to college, I met a couple people who were seriously accomplished technically on their instruments, and I like to say I was sort of equally poor at playing piano, saxophone, and guitar at the time. But it really woke me up, and I said, okay, time to get serious. And I basically decided to focus on the guitar and began to really, you know, really work in earnest. I finally got a teacher for the first time and a couple of teachers and studied quite hard for the next maybe 8 years or so.
Well, it's paid off.
Yeah, well, I guess it did. It's never been. It never felt like a job to me. It's always felt like I feel sort of lucky that I've been able to do what I love, you know, all the time, and just choose to do that. And I've been paid for it, and found some great gigs.
You certainly have. And the Steely Dan gig is it an ongoing thing? Or are they done?
You know, it's a good question. We never really know. Somehow the band feels like we're the last to know about the touring plans and records and all that. Some big news on that, on a related front, is that Donald Fagen has a new record called Sunken Condos that's coming out in October. And I'm happy to say I got to play quite a lot on it, and I like the way that came out. So I'm looking forward to that, and I don't know if he'll be doing some other work, but I certainly hope so.
Well, getting back to
the Dukes too, you know, I hope the Dukes keep happening because that's a really fun project.
Now, the Dukes of September, that's Michael McDonald, Boz Scaggs, and Donald Fagen, but not separately. Those guys are all together.
It's all on the stage at the same time. They get to be sort of backup musicians for the other guys when they're singing, and I think it's fun for them because we get to do about half the night is old covers. I mean, everything from Marvin Gaye to Buck Owens, Ray Charles, Chuck Berry, you know. It's really a lot of fun for me.
So, you know, as a sideman or recording jingle dates or doing, you know, jazz gigs, basically spending a lot of time playing other people's music, when do you know you've reached that point where you say, wow, I've got an album worth of my own stuff, I got to get out?
I've been busier the last couple of years, and it's been harder to find writing time. But I was encouraged to do some more writing with particularly the stuff I wrote with the bass player Dennis Espantman, because we were gigging so much more, and I was sort of dissatisfied with a lot of the tunes that we were playing, and I said I think we could come up with better soloing vehicles for me, and you know, so it was just that was what kind of inspired the last batch of tunes, and you know, I'm hoping that continuing to gig with my own band is going to you know, spark that same inspiration there.
Well, we're very happy to have you coming to our venue. John Harrington's new album is Time on My Hands. John and his band will be appearing at the Linda on Saturday night. Thanks for being on the roundtable. I tell you what, let's play out with music. Why don't you pick me your favorite one from the new album, Time on My Hands, and we'll play it out.
You know, I do like the title cut, but I also like Running Out of Time.
Where have you been this quarter to ten? You're just nowhere to be seen. Said you'd be here by 7:15. nowhere to be found. I guess I'll just wait.